This is John Fisher for the Ultimate Practice Builder for New York Injury Lawyers. Today, I'm very fortunate to have Joey Bridges on the call. Joey Bridges is a national author, speaker, and social marketing coach. He's the co-author of two books. He's helped Fortune 500 companies with large-scale web solutions. He's an instructor of internet technology at the University of Southern California. He is a Google AdWords qualified instructor. Starting in 2003, Joey and his brother Jamie created a real estate company that sold over $100 million in real estate from the internet. Their company was number one in internet real estate sales. Joey and his brother Jamie speak at about 150 events annually, both nationally and internationally. And since 2007, Joey and his brother Jamie have helped small business owners generate sales from Facebook. Now, so Facebook marketing is something that most lawyers realize they're supposed to be doing right now. They all have a Google Plus, Facebook, or Twitter account, perhaps even LinkedIn, but they don't know what to do with it. And today, Joey is going to provide the answers for our audience. Mara Glazer of the GKIC said about Joey and his brother Jamie, "When it comes to making money on Facebook, these guys know how to do it. Their book will guide you through turning Facebook into a profit machine." So Joey, thank you very much for being with us today about on the topic of how to use social media to grow your law practice the right way.
Oh, happy to, John.
Hey Joey, let me start with a few questions about internet media, because I know one of the things that you harp on with social media is for some people it may not be the right way to promote their business, and others it is. How do you determine whether social media is something that would work for a law practice?
Sure. You know, it's a great question, John, because I think too many people like to say, hey, social media just works for everybody. But I think there's plenty of advertising mechanisms and social media in particular that it does not work. When it comes down to a law practice and when I'm helping my lawyers as clients, I ask them, hey, do you get, you know, referrals, you know, where's the source of your business? You know, do you get referrals from, you know, customers, you know, like, you know, regular customers, not other lawyers at the bulk of the business, but, you know, do you get customers refer you? Do they talk about you? Do they refer you to their friends? Do they refer you to their companies? You know, how do you have a relationship with them beyond just, hey, no, I don't deal with that. I only deal with maybe insurance companies or other people, those are my clients. Well, then it may not be a match. But if you ever get any type of referral or business from a customer or a testimonial and you deal with the public, you can stand to benefit greatly from using social media in your business.
Joey, for lawyers in our market who base their practice on lawyer referrals, getting cases from other lawyers, you offer what I believe you refer to as a business-to-business solution. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about that?
Yeah. What I like is, to me, when you get your business from another business, you have to – everyone always wants, you know, something. They're always going, okay, well, hey, they're just going to call me because they want business. Well, yeah, but you want to add more value to that. So when I'm working with a lawyer or another business owner who's, you know, B2B, that's where they get their bread and butter from their business. They're not, you know, B2C. You know, they're really B2B. The solution really comes down to, okay, well, how are we consistently communicating with them? What value beyond, you know, are we really contributing? Are we helping them grow their business? Are we helping them increase their business? Are we providing them tips, tools, resources that can get beyond that? Because the one thing that's common in every business-to-business situation, let me put it this way, John, I have yet to meet a business owner who didn't want more business. So when you're in that B2B space, you know, how can you help your business partners generate more business? That doesn't mean you have to have the answers, but it does mean that you can provide them additional resources, articles, links, videos, podcasts, YouTube trainings. They might not be you, but they may be, you know, from partners or other people you know. So you become that information hub for them, for not just what you do for them, how you serve them, but also for things that help them in their business, thereby separating you completely from every other person who wants to, you know, get their business.
So, Joey, how would a lawyer who has no idea how to use social media, Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, using your ideas as a platform to grow the business-to-business solution, how would they use social media to accomplish the type of valuable tip information sharing that you're mentioning?
Well, I think the one thing I like to have all my clients do, I call it interest-peaking updates. So, you know, if someone's listening to this later, they go, okay, interest-peaking updates. Everybody has something interesting about their business or about businesses they're trying to help. You can very simply just take a, you know, whether it's the lawyer themselves or whether it's their assistant, their paralegal, or somebody, another staff member on their team, write down 30 interesting pieces about the business, facts that customers or, you know, your fellow lawyers need to know. Like when you and I were working, like when you and I worked together. Well, you know, there's ways that you help secure a lawyer's, you know, referral, you know, that other lawyers may not be willing to do. Well, that's interesting. You know, hey, how to guarantee that you're going to get your, you know, referral fee in legally. Well, that question by itself is interesting. Well, do you want to know how to make sure you always get paid your referral fee? You know, how would you, you know, you want three steps to guarantee it, you know, that your referral fee comes in next time? Well, if someone's either heard the story about someone not getting a referral or if it's not happened to them in the past, that automatically becomes interesting. You can put that kind of update out on LinkedIn. You can put it out on Google+. You can put it out on Twitter. You could point it back to, you know, a spot on your website, a YouTube video that you recorded in 2 minutes and answered that question. You could put it out so many different ways just by asking, think of the questions of that really agitate your audience. And that's what I like to tell people, what either motivates them by a pain or what do they really want to know. And then you put that kind of content out there in the form of questions, and that points them to additional resources or content that they can go use.
Okay, and what you're talking about is sort of providing valuable information to the people who already follow and sort of are raving fan base already. But what if you want to use social media to try to reach out to new people who don't know who you are, as a sort of using social media as a lead generation device?
Sure, I think it comes in two ways. I think, first of all, you attract, you know, like attracts like. You're going to attract the people that you want, because there's people that we cannot fathom, you know, as lawyers, as business owners, as coaches like what I do. It's hard to fathom that somebody out there is searching on Twitter for an answer, yet they are. It's hard to imagine that someone, you know, and you're thinking, hey, another lawyer isn't searching on Twitter. Yeah, the scary part is they are. You know, there's lawyers searching on LinkedIn because you have all sorts of generations searching for answers in different mediums. So step one always comes down to, well, what kind of content am I producing? Am I producing interesting content? So that's number one. Number two, when I want to go attract new people, well, if I look at, you know, Facebook, which I love Facebook for the interaction, for the medium, for what it can do to bring people into your world. I have Facebook ads, which, you know, there's been pros and cons. You know, there's articles on both sides, yet I find you can run Facebook ads and build a community of people that want to, you know, come and join you. You can use existing email lists to get people to you as well. You can use LinkedIn ads to get people to join your community. You can use blog posts and other content to build your, you know, social referral base. You can use all sorts of different methods to generate and build an audience.
Joey, when you use the phrase build a community, what do you mean?
You know, when I say build a community, I really want a group of people who are following you and looking for what you have to say next. And I guess the biggest objection I get to that, John, is, you know, especially from my legal clients, they go, no one cares what I have to say. I go, yeah, people do care what you have to say. Look at YouTube as an example. It's like one out of every 1,000 users ever uploads content. So just by uploading even one video, you have now separated yourself from your competition. There are so many videos on a variety. That's just one. And YouTube, to me, is a very social place to be. People are looking for the content. More people listen to podcasts than produce podcasts. Okay, well, that's another way you can produce content to bring to you to build that community of people who are looking for an answer. People are always looking for a different voice. They're looking for a voice that sometimes they agree with, that sometimes they disagree with. But at the end of the day, what they're looking for is a voice that provides value to their problem. So whatever your niche is in the legal world, you are adding value on a daily basis. You're solving problems that other lawyers are not. So how do you get that message out? Well, you get it out via, you know, podcast, via Facebook, via YouTube, via Twitter, and that will build your community, thereby giving you more people to generate referrals to increase business. Because in the end of the day, all I really care about is that you're getting leads that you can turn into business. I don't want content for content's sake. I don't want social for social's sake. I want it to lead to, you know, business that can be quantifiable at the end of the day.
Our lawyers are sending out great information on all of the different type of social media, and they're building their community. But how does this actually result in clients and money for lawyers?
That's a great question, John, because at the end of the day, that's the whole nuts and bolts of it, right? If you cannot just produce content and expect it to, magically, as I say, it's not going to magically turn into money. It's not. It's not going to magically turn into clients. So in each piece of content, whether that's the podcast or it's YouTube or it's, blog posts, Twitter feed updates, whatever it happens to be, if you're not making a direct call to action for people to visit your website so they can opt in for a free report or a newsletter or to call your office for a free consultation, or if you have a paid consultation, you have to make that call to action. I see so many people, they go, well, look, Joe, I produced all this content. I go, okay, great, well, let me look at it. And, they're 6 months into a process. I go, well, when do you ever ask the person to call you? Well, I haven't. Well, when do you ask them to sign up for a report? Well, I haven't. So how do you expect them to know what to do? Lawyers by their very nature, whether they, some know it, some don't, they're intimidating to even to other lawyers. Lawyers can be intimidating, depending upon maybe where they graduated from college or the firm that they're with. So even other lawyers may not want to contact you if you don't make yourself available to request a piece of information. Maybe that's email. Maybe that's a book. Maybe that's a CD. And I can tell you, especially the general public is intimidated by lawyers due to the fear of how much it might cost to talk to them. So you have to lower that fear both in lawyers and in consumers. Whichever, law you have to practice, you better lower that barrier and make it easy and low risk to contact you so that you can get the benefits of the community you're building.
Right. And a perfect example, Joey, is recently through your help, there were two cases that I got through the internet. One was a case in Maryland that I told you about. The other was a truck accident in Long Island. Both of the cases within the last month resulted in legal fees collectively of about $1.3 million. Without your help and without the internet and social media, I never would have had either one of those cases because the people who sent those cases to me only found me on LinkedIn and my website. Without those two things, I never would have had them. So I think one of the things the lawyers listening to this want to know is we've got all the great advice on social media, on our website. We're sending out great conversion tools like free books, audio CDs, but how does that actually become money? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that you have to look at it as, where does it fit in your, overall strategy? How many, like you and I work on, you look at, okay, how are we building our community? How many are we adding? How many are we adding to our database? How many, leads are we getting? How are we following up with those leads? Because, I see a lot of people generate leads and yet they fail to follow up with them. You're not like that. But a lot of people are. It's scary to imagine somebody generating leads and not following up with them, yet it happens so frequently, it's almost terrifying. That's why when I'm working with, whether it's my small business owners or it's my lawyers, I want to make sure everybody is tracking and, not only tracking, but being accountable for what they're doing, that everything is done with purpose. Because if you're just creating content for content's sake, who cares? I want to know that, hey, what you're doing is leading to an end. Not to say that, everything gets, I hear this a lot. Well, Joey, I created like, three whole pieces of content. I am not a bazillionaire. I'm like, no, you're not. And the lawyer says, hey, you went to law school for, three years? It took you a while to become a lawyer, and then it took even longer to become an expert at it. I'm not saying it's going to take 3 years, but it is absolutely you have to stick with it, and you have to stick with it on a consistent basis. This is not I went to the gym one time and I suddenly look like a supermodel. You have to go consistently over time and keep at it consistently in order to see the results at the end of the day.
There was a study that was done recently that showed, maybe it's not so recent, but it showed that a sale is not made on the first contact with a new lead, but on the eighth or ninth contact with that lead. And it's repetitive follow-up and frequent contact with the client that leads to the results. So what we're talking about here with Facebook marketing and social media marketing is not just developing a single lead, but developing a system in place to follow up on a way that's automated and multimedia to get in front and stay top of mind with that consumer. So when they do have a case, that case is going to come to us. But let's talk a little bit about the fan page marketing that you've developed. And from your website, it states, why having a fan page is critical to success on Facebook and provides a platform for integrating all social media efforts. First, let's start with, what is a fan page on Facebook?
You know, a fan page, it's funny because a fan page has actually continues to evolve over the years. And what it really is a professional business presence on Facebook. It's like having a social media website. That's what my brother likes to call it. It's like having a social media website. You know, there's not many, I can't think of one at the moment, but almost no one in there, I would say, right mind right now, would say, yeah, I want to do business and I don't ever intend to have a website. And I don't, you just don't hear that. And it's not common. Well, the same thing is true over on Facebook. And people go, well, my customers aren't there. I'm like, well, do you have people? I mean, you're talking Facebook's audience is going to be approaching a billion. You know, they're realm at 800-900 million, you know, registered users of Facebook. So your customers are there. Now it's whether you're there to give them a place to say good things about you, or in some cases, maybe they're going to complain about you. The bottom line is you want to be there so that you can address those issues ahead of time. You want to be there so that you can cultivate deeper relationships with your lawyers, with your fellow lawyers, with your community, with the people you want. Give them a place to call home. Everybody uses different pieces of software differently. And without a professional business presence on Facebook, you're leaving it to your competition. You're just giving that piece of your business away, going, I'm not going to be here, and I want my competition to take that business from it. And that's really what you're saying.
Joey, what do you and your brother do to create Facebook strategies and professional fan pages for your clients?
Well, what Jen and I do, the very first step is, number one, like we talked about at the very beginning of the call, we determine, hey, is this right for you? You know, is this right for you? You know, is this going to be, you know, are you going to be committed to it? You know, because it is a, you know, commitment to a process, to following through. Are you going to be put the effort that it's going to take? In other words, hey, you can sign up for the gym all day long, and if you pay your fee, that's great, but they will not make you in better shape if you don't actually physically show up to the gym. So are you going to either have a staff member do it, or have our team do it, or, you know, it has to be a commitment in that respect, both time and, you know, financially to do it. So that's step number one. Actually, that's step number two. Step number one is, hey, does this fit for your firm? Does it fit for your legal practice? Is it going to fit? Step two is, hey, let's see if you're going to commit to it. And step number three really is, okay, well, let's put this, you know, into action and see kind of where it goes from there. You know, see where it goes, see the process and put it into place with interest-peaking updates, with, you know, nice professional graphics and image that, you know, coincide or match or at least coordinate at the very least with the image of your website.
Tell us some of the different types of web pages that you and your brother have created for lawyers, for example.
Oh, geez, let's see. I've helped bankruptcy lawyers. I've helped personal injury lawyers. I've helped divorce attorneys. I've helped attorneys who, and you'll forgive me, John, because you know me, and in some cases I will mix up the practice not intentionally. I've helped regular, you know, I don't want to say attorneys, even though they just deal with, let's say, insurance companies where their primary job. They're not really dealing with the general public. We've helped attorneys in that respect just set up professional, because even the, if they're, hey, defending the insurance company against someone suing them, they still want to have a professional image on Facebook. Even if they're not highly trafficked or even if it's not there, they have a place there so that no one can take it from them. And all of their competition knows that they're there and they're present there. They may not put the same effort into it, and that's understandable based on, you know, where their market is. However, they're there and they have a presence. And I think that's part of the case. It's like you wouldn't let someone now go buy, you know, if your law firm name was Smith & Smith, you know, LLC, you would not let someone go and buy that website domain. You would buy it just to protect yourself. In a lot of cases, that's what it is on Facebook is, well, look, I have graphics that match my firm letterhead, I have, or they match my website, and now I'm there so that people can comment and at least people can see that I'm moving forward and I have a place for people to go, for people to call home.
One of the things that you mentioned that when somebody makes a commitment to social media, they have to have a plan in place to do it. And a lot of lawyers on this call will say, I've got all these different social media accounts, but I have no idea what to do with it. And that's really where you come in developing a Facebook and social media strategy for agitating the audience and building a community. But in terms of actually doing it, what are the nuts and bolts of doing social media and social networking?
Sure. In the end of the day, you know, first of all, you're going to have to produce content, okay, because you have the best strategy in the world, and if the content does not get, you know, either developed or put into place, then the strategy will fall apart. So the nuts and bolts, you know, in especially you look at Facebook, you look at LinkedIn, and you also look at Twitter. What content are you ready to producing? Number one. How frequently are you producing that content? Number two. Number three. What type of content are you producing? It's almost sad to say that people get so bored so quick, but yet they do. So if you're only ever producing text updates, that's going to bore your audience. They will fatigue. They will get tired of it. Do you have, can you produce, you know, YouTube videos, which if you have a camera, you can now produce YouTube videos. You know, podcasts, those are great. You can share links to those. Pictures. You know, I think a lot of my attorneys, they're the biggest, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, John, they're the complainers over, I don't have pictures, Joey. I don't want to share pictures. I'm like, you are helping people. Show me a picture of somebody. You know, maybe it's a, car, you know, that wrecked that you helped someone, you know, get a settlement from. You know, maybe it's happy people. Maybe you're just buying stock images, you know, that you purchased the rights to, and then you can use it to symbolize certain either happy clients or situations. That works too. Mix up the medium because, you know, I can tell people, hey, look, I need you to put out three great pieces of content a day scheduled across these networks for 30 days. I need you to mix this. But then the question is, well, what do I produce? Okay, well, talk about your, you know, business. What are you, you know, every day you're helping people. So how are you helping people? And people are corporations. People are actual, you know, physical human beings. But somebody's getting help every day or you wouldn't be in business. So we turn what you do into interest-speaking content, interest-speaking information, and then we make sure it gets out to the world via social media channels.
Joy, one of the great examples of this is on Facebook. There's the ability that to add, I believe it's five different videos on your Facebook profile. And a great example for an attorney how to get started with this would be shooting video about the 10 most frequently asked questions that your clients ask, and then perhaps even another video, the 10 most frequently asked questions that you should be asking your attorney. That's the type of stuff that consumers will listen to, watch, and look for more.
They love, you know, gentlemen, they love that. And the time it takes you to do it, those videos will last forever. And you will end up with calls years later from videos of that nature, answering people's common questions, objections, and you know, I think a lot of attorneys, John, when they're listening, they're going to go, well, everybody does that. No, everybody doesn't do that. Or you would have, for every 1,000 users on YouTube, 1,000 people. You don't. You have one out of every 1,000. And I think, you know, if attorneys did that, number one, it's going to make you more human. Two, it's going to lower the fear barrier. And three, whether you know it or not, it's going to make you a little famous. Everyone becomes, as soon as you put up YouTube video, you do become a little famous. You become famous in your own world, in your own circles, in your own things for having the guts to actually record a video and to put it up there. And, you know, if you don't want to put your face on there, record it with, like, PowerPoint. You know, you can record a video on your computer with, like, PowerPoint and read off the 10 objections or the 10, you know, things that every client needs to know. It's still no excuse to not do video, even if you don't want to physically be on the camera.
To make social media work for our lawyers on the audience, how frequently should they be posting content on social media? And when during the day should they be posting their content?
You know, I'm a firm believer in social media of each social media channel is different. And here's what I mean. With Facebook, you know, if a lawyer did three updates a day, and by the way, there's plenty of great tools out there that you can Because I know when I say three a day, I start to see eyes rolls in the audience and people like glaze over and they go, that's never going to happen. Like, well, actually, you know, you can schedule it out like on the first of the month, schedule out an entire month's worth of updates in you know, what amounts to less than an hour's worth of work. Or, you know, have a, you know, either a company or you have a, you know, somebody else in your staff do it. So I like three updates for Facebook. I like a minimum of one to three great pieces of content for your website, which, by the way, those are just then, you know, when you update those just count as toward that three that I like on Facebook every day. So if you're putting, you know, a couple blog posts or a couple pages on your website out, one or two a week, you know, type of thing, well, that just counts toward the amount that you need to do on Facebook. Twitter, you can put out more. And I like to keep LinkedIn around the same as Facebook. They can be very similar / the same, the LinkedIn and Facebook updates. It's a closer fit than Twitter and Facebook. LinkedIn and Facebook, even though Facebook's more social and LinkedIn is pure business, the style of update, because as lawyers it's going to be very professional, the update will work across because it will be professional on Facebook and it will be professional on LinkedIn.
Is there a certain time of day that the post should be added to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn?
Oh, you're right, John. Sorry, I forgot to answer that. You did ask me that, and I did not address that. I like business hours, John, because that's the – if you look at 9, just before noon and before 5 o'clock, that's going to be your peak usage of a network like Facebook. So you're going to want to schedule your updates to begin around that time frame, around 9 a.m., whatever time zone you're in, which is also usually your customers, so 9, noon, and just before 5.
Let me ask you about a statement that you have on your website. Why allowing your customers to talk about your business, good and bad, is one of the best methods to increase your bottom line on Facebook. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you know, I always have everybody freaking out. They're like, I'm not going to let my customers talk about me. I'm like, they're going to talk about you anyway. you might as well give them a platform. You know, if you're in business long enough, eventually you're going to have someone who's dissatisfied with you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, eventually somebody's going to be unhappy with you, you know, or you haven't served enough customers. Somebody's going to be unhappy. It's just the nature of doing business. So what you want to do is, since most – and I find this true with my lawyers. They do a great job. They kill themselves for their clients. So, yeah, one out of every 200 or 300 is just a bad apple. But that person is miserable in their own right. So they're going to go find somewhere to complain. Well, they're going to eventually find you on Facebook. Great. They're going to complain. But what you will discover is if you have built a community of the people, the, you know, 199 out of the 200 who love you, they will defend you to that person. That person's going to may say, hey, I don't think, you know, Joey was great. And then you're going to watch the other 199 turn on that person and go, what's your problem? Maybe you're just the bad seed. You know, maybe you're the problem in this process. So, you know, you stir that conversation up, which just stirs in people's new feeds and creates that you're going to get the action anyway. You might as well have people, you know, ride to your aid, ride to your defense by building a community to save you, because one day you're going to need it. You're going to need it one day. So start building it now. Start building up the positive equity, because one day you're going to need to draw from it.
That's all the time we have today, Joey. This is the first part of a two-part interview series entitled How to Use Social Media to Grow Your Law Practice the Right Way.